Ah, that's better. Hello, everyone. Come on into the Zoom meeting room where I will tell you a story. So you are here for the Gift of Fat bonus call on how to prioritize yourself. So this particular call we're doing in December. So the theme of the call was actually to talk about prioritizing yourself during the holidays. And when Corinne and I got together and created the call schedule for this month, I said, you know, we really should start the month by saying, y'all, don't forget, you have to do your work so that you can take care of other people. You have to take care of yourself so that you can take care of everyone around you, right? And she looked at me and she said, why don't you do that call? And I think she wanted me to do it because she knows me. And how I am that girl who's going to set aside everything I want to make sure everybody else is happy to my own detriment. So as I thought about this, I thought, yeah, I really am the right person to talk about this because this is some of the work that I do like almost every day. Okay. So here's how this is going to roll tonight. I'm going to go ahead and tell you a story, like I promised. We're going to talk a little bit about why it's important to prioritize yourself. And then for all of you people pleasers out there, we'll coach for a little bit. So if anybody wants to be coached on how to prioritize yourself or why you don't prioritize yourself, we'll do some of that at the end of the call. Okay? So here's my story. I want to tell you about my cousin, Chris. Okay. Chris was brilliant. She was a straight A student, a really good flute player. She pitched softball like really, really well. I mean, her dad was the coach. She used to make her brother stand, you know, outside, pretend that he was a batter and she'd pitch at him. She had huge potential. Her family had huge expectations of her. Okay. Like a manual as big as, you know, the Encyclopedia Britannica. I guess that probably dates me, but you get the picture. Great, big, huge manual for her because she was so smart and so talented in so many different areas. When she got out of high school, she had a full ride out of state to Georgia Tech. Okay. She went to school. She hated it, hated every minute of it, dropped out after one semester and went home. Chris's family thought she was lost. They actually thought she was kind of a pain in the butt. But what Chris was unhappy. Because she was trying to please everyone else in her family. She wasn't thinking about, what is it I want to do? Right? She wasn't living her life for her. She was trying to follow the manual someone else had written for her. Fast forward a couple of years, Chris went out and visited a friend in Oregon and decided to stay. She knew one person. She had no job. She moved to Portland. She lived there. She stayed there, created a life for herself that she loved on her terms. Okay. She threw away the family's manual, told them they could throw it away. And she said, this is what I need. This is what I want. She ended up getting married. She made tons of friends. She was a bartender and loved it because she learned about people. She engaged with people. This is what she wanted. She worked in music promotion. She loved music, always loved music. And she created the life that she wanted. And because she lived that life, she found the space to impact other lives. She volunteered in organizations that meant things to her. She helped people find jobs. She helped talented musicians find work. Like I said, she tended bar. She saw all the concerts because she tended bar at an arena. She saw all the Portland Trailblazer games. She lived the life that made her happy. And you know why? Because she took care of what she needed first. She allowed herself to prioritize what made her happy. So she created this model. I'm going to write it up here so everybody can see it. Okay? So this is Chris's model, right? My life. The thought was, let's see if I can get all this in the screen. I know what makes me happy. And I do those things. Her feeling is fulfilled. Her action is to take care of herself first. And her result was she lives a full life. She lived a full life. Not because she only took care of herself, but because she took care of herself first. Okay? She created fulfilled and happy in her model. She didn't require anybody else to do that. It was all Chris. That's what I admire about her, you know? Sometimes I think, you know, we say you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. And it sounds a little trite. But when I think about Chris, she proved it true, right? She proved it true because she created the life that fulfilled her. And then in turn, because she was so fulfilled, she did things for other people. She had the space to do things for other people because she was happy. So I feel like that's kind of a roadmap to follow to remind myself how to show up first for me, right? Because I love myself enough to do that, then I can love my life enough to show up for my life. So how can I do that, right? Here's where we get into weight loss. The easy things are you plan your food. You set your intention every day, right? This is how I'm going to show up for me. This is how I'm going to keep my weight off. This is how I'm going to lose my weight, whatever it is. For me, I move my body every day because it feels good. It might be a 10-minute walk, and it might be a yoga class, and it might be a workout. It doesn't matter. I just know I feel good. It makes me happy to get a little sunshine every day to move my body. I want to read books every day. That fulfills me, makes me happy. I plan some self-care every day. You know, that's what's in the planner, right? So I want you guys to put in the chat, what are some of the things, some of the ways you show up for yourself every day? What are some of those ways that you are creating the life that you want, and you may not even be recognizing you're doing it. So let's hit up the chat. Tell me some of the ways that you are doing this. Journaling and goal setting, great, right? Piano, playing the piano, time blocking, planning and eating to my two, four basics, Zumba class, talk to my sister every day, music, kickboxing. These are great things, right? Getting coached by Kathy. Yay. Tennis, right? These are ways that you're creating the life that you want for you, right? And when you do these things, you're taking care of yourself. You're prioritizing yourself. Okay? Some of, you know, you guys have hit a lot of great ones. There's facials and Pilates, putting on makeup, bubble bath. You're hitting all the self-care things, guys. It's exactly what I wanted you to do. Here's something I want to challenge you to do, though. I want you to recognize rest time as rest time. I'm not good at that, okay? I have a sister-in-law who is a widow and has no children. We call her every night. I can either look at that phone call as a job, something I have to do, something I'm obligated to do, or I can incorporate that into my rest time. My taking care of me time. I'm taking care of me and it allows me to take care of her. What if you're playing Candy Crush? Do you recognize that as rest or working crossword puzzles? Is that rest time? You have to really, really see when you are filling your own love tank, when you are taking care of something that you love and recognize it as time that you're resting or time that you're caring for yourself. Time blocking, somebody mentioned that. That's such a great way to take care of yourself. That makes sure you're utilizing your time in the most efficient ways. Another really good thing I haven't seen yet, maybe I missed it though, is catching negative self-talk. Okay? Somebody says, is rest time the same as self-care? It is for me. It is for me. Rest in this brain of mine, definitely self-care. Stopping the negative self-talk, recognizing it, hearing it, and stopping it. Another really good way to prioritize yourself. When you start thinking about yourself better, in better ways, in more loving ways, you're prioritizing yourself. Here's a biggie. Understanding that when you do something for someone else, it's because you're choosing to do that. It's something you want to do rather than something that you're obligated to do. Just that subtle little shift. You know, it's if I'm doing it because I want to do it, even though I'm doing it for someone else, it's prioritizing me, right? And the last one I came up with, and this is something I'm putting into practice today, is that question in the journal that says, it's at the bottom of the 24-hour plan and assessment. On a scale of 1 to 10, my commitment to weight loss is, never settle for anything less than a 10. Because if you're committed to your weight loss at a 10, you're committed to yourself as a 10, right? That's prioritizing yourself. Think about that, right? If you're taking care of yourself by doing these things, you don't find yourself in the bottom of the chip bag because you deserve it, or because no one understands you, or because you're so busy, or because there's too much to do. See how taking care of you, prioritizing yourself, kind of changes the focus a little bit. It takes you back to what's important and whether or not, you know, how worthy you are of the work and whether or not you love yourself enough, right? When you start prioritizing yourself. This is how you create that amazing relationship with yourself. You set your own expectations, just like Chris did. You decide where to spend your time and what's important. Can it match up? Can some of these expectations match up to the expectations of others? Absolutely. But the important thing is that it's something that you want to do. You own that. You own your choices. You own your thoughts. You own everything, right? You own your prioritization. So taking ownership for those choices is where the secret sauce is. That's how you prioritize yourself through the holidays, how you love yourself through the holidays. You make sure that your own self-love tank is filled so that you can then in turn be what you want to be to others. So that's my story. My story about my cousin Chris. If you have questions, you can post them in the Q&A. Otherwise, there are some raised hands, so we'll just get on into coaching. So let's see. I'm going to close out the chat. Two raised hands. Let's see who we got here. Emily and Shelley. Emily, you're up. Did you mean to raise your hand, Emily? Oh, she's gone. She must not have meant to raise your hand. Shelley? Jeanette, calling on you first, Shelley. Y'all watch the butt hand raising. Kind of a funny way to put it, isn't it? There you are. Oh, I can't hear you. Oh, okay.
Did I do that okay?
Yep, yeah. You're here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
I have never done this, so... I'm not sure. Is this one of the topic ones or?
Yeah. This is kind of about prioritizing yourself and about okay. self-care and how to make sure you are taking care of yourself.
Okay.
As you try and take care of everyone else.
Which is exactly what I need. And I don't do.
Why don't you do it?
Because I claim I'm too busy taking care of everyone else. And,
right.
Then I get resentful, and you were talking about your sister-in-law, and I have a dynamic with my sister-in-law where I think my thinking is that I have to do it all. But I don't know that I do. And I kind of always blame her. But the more I work in this program, I'm starting to wonder if it's not me. I mean, like the more models I do, it's really my thinking.
So tell me what you're talking about. Give me a, sorry, my nose is drippy. Give me an example of what you're talking about.
So at the holiday time, the dynamic in my extended family with my mom and my sister-in-law is kind of, I take care of everything gift-wise for everybody. That's been my role.
Okay. Is that your chosen role? You good with that role?
No, probably not. No, I get resentful.
Okay.
And my family gets annoyed because I'm bitchy and tired.
Okay. So your feeling of line is resentful.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me why you're resentful.
Because everybody looks to me to do it all.
Everyone looks to me to do it all. Okay. So when you feel resentful, what do?
I eat.
And what else?
I get depressed.
That's kind of a feeling.
Okay. So action would be eat.
Do you snip at people? Do you ignore people? Do you get, do you avoid people?
I avoid, and then I get snippy with my immediate family, like my children.
Okay. Anything else? Do you actually do the work?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else that you do because you're resentful?
No.
Okay. So what do you think the result is?
You know, I might be really passive aggressive.
Okay. What do you think the result is?
That I get angry. Well, no.
I think you resent yourself.
Oh, wow.
You know why?
Why?
Because you didn't set a boundary. You didn't say no. Because you didn't stand up for yourself. Because you didn't prioritize you.
And then that's why I take it out on myself by eating.
Right. Right. So.
Wow.
Is this a bad thing that everyone looks to me to do it all?
No, I've made it that way, I think. Yeah, I think I've just created it like it's a burden I don't want to do.
So what should your next step be? If it's a burden you don't want to do,
I either need to change it and do it more willingly, or I guess I would need to tell them I don't want to.
You can ask for help. You can... There's all kinds of things. This is not necessarily, I don't want anyone to think this is necessarily a bad thing. It's a bad thing because she thinks it is, right? It's because to Shelley, this is not ideal. This is unintentional. So this is, I guess this is the season's jobs, right?
Right.
Season's stuff is the season. Yeah. Because that's what we're talking about. But to Shelley, it doesn't feel good that everybody looks to her to do it. Some people want to do it all, but not you, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. So to change this and to make it more palatable, let's actually do this. Let's do a new model. About the season's jobs. We've already identified that you could ask for help. What else did you say? Set boundary?
Yes.
Okay. That's called a limit. Okay.
Yeah.
Set limits. What else?
I guess, but I mean, I've tried in the past to plan it more, like say but I need to know these things by a certain date.
Okay. But so then, it's kind of like the asking for help, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. And they just don't do it.
Okay.
So I guess you just have to accept that.
Accept the help you get. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So in order to ask for help and set these limits and plan better, how do you have to feel?
I have to be willing and happy about doing it.
How about just willing? Right?
Not so happy.
I don't know that you, I mean, happy might even be a more intentional model than this one.
Okay.
We're just going to try and get you someplace where you can, you're okay, you're willing with this season's stuff.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So in order to be more open and willing, what do you think the thought is?
Well, I would need to change my thought to I'm okay with helping and collecting what I need to for them.
Right. Instead of they expect me to.
Right.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice to just kind of be appreciated for it, but I think that's a whole nother model. So
that is, because appreciated goes in the feelings line, is generated by your thought, because they can't, they're not going to be in your model.
Right. Right.
So maybe I'm okay with doing this work. Maybe as you do it, you give yourself your own pat on the back. Look what I accomplished today. I got this done. That's how you prioritize you. That's how we're getting back to fulfilling your own life, fulfilling your own needs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You break this. Maybe part of this willing part is to break it into smaller pieces so that it doesn't seem so much.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking to someone about setting goals and about how 10-year goals can feel so huge. But if you break 10-year goals into 10 one-year goals, doesn't seem as big.
That's true.
So if you were to list, you know, what it is you need to get done, maybe it's buy gifts, wrap them, put them in the mail, instead of looking at that as one job. If you looked at it as three jobs, it might, you know,
might
create a better result for you that you can, and then validate yourself as you move through each job. Look, I got shopping done today. Good for me. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm a boss at this. That's why I do it, because I know I'm good at it. You know, whatever it is you want to tell yourself.
Right.
So back here to this result.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? After you've asked for help, you've set limits, you've planned better, you've broken it up into smaller pieces, you accept the help that you get. What do you think the result is?
I'm going to enjoy it more.
Yeah. Yeah. You enjoy it more.
It won't be the burden. It'll
maybe that's it. It's no longer a burden.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you.
It's pretty interesting when you understand the power of your own thoughts. When you think about, we didn't change anything in the C line. You're still doing the same jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think, I can't believe I got saddled with this again, versus I'm the right person for this, then pretty amazing, right?
No, that really is. And that's the last 2 years. That's how I've looked at it, is poor me versus, like you're saying. I mean, I could really use it to empower myself instead of tear myself down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can also, are you one of those, you know, people that does for other people all the time? And you can also look at it as, this is the gift I'm giving them by taking care of this, because then you're choosing to think of it as something that actually lights you up, because, and that's the way I am. If I think I'm doing something for someone because I want to do it, then I take a lot of joy in that. Right? All of a sudden I've taken the ownership and the responsibility for creating my own joy by doing something for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty cool way to think about it, isn't it?
It is. I'm glad I raised my hand. Thank you.
I'm glad you did too. Got anything else?
No, that's all. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Enjoy all those holiday jobs.
Okay. I'm gonna now.
All right. See ya.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, Karen, you're next. Are you coming? Here she comes.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. I was not planning on actually being called. So.
Oh, you had your hand raised.
Well, I thought there were a couple of people in front of me.
Well, do you want me to, take you back down?
No, I'll go ahead and do it because I'm probably not going to have the guts if I wait.
Okay. Let's put you, can I see you please? There you are. Hello.
Hi. So I'm not quite sure what my specific question is. I know it's about self-care and prioritizing self-care during the month of December specifically. Mm-hmm. So I have this goal. I've been working towards getting to my goal weight for about a year now. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost there. I'm within 5 pounds of reaching it. And I feel like I just kind of keep self-sabotaging myself. And I realized today was, you know, December 2nd. And I mean, I knew about this. I made this plan to try to work to get to my goal by the end of the year, because it's 2020 and I've been just, you know, playing around with this for so long and I just wanted to really get in gear and really, you know, get it done. Well, I'm letting the stress of my schedule and there's a lot of things that are kind of popping up all at the same time in the month of December, obviously with Christmas events and all the things. But there's like family stuff and work stuff that's kind of coming up at the same time. So it's kind of making it more than just the holidays. It's like life related. Mm-hmm. Like I'm all of a sudden thinking about changing jobs. And so anyway, I keep letting all of these other things kind of become the hot button. And I'm not explaining myself very well. I guess I keep letting my fears and my anxieties in the moment kind of prioritize over my goal for the end of the year.
Tell me what that looks like. If you let fear or anxiety become more important than your goal, what does that look like? Explain that a little bit more. What's happening?
More of like self-sabotaging. I will eat things that are not on my plan, or I will overeat, or I will eat before I'm at my -2, like all these different things. One of the big things is I live near my parents and I go over to help them quite a bit. My dad is disabled and so I will have like a healthy plan that I've created, and I kind of feel like since I'm within reaching my goal, I kind of have to tighten up my plans a little bit more. Okay. And I don't keep sweet things at my house, but when I go over to my parents, they have the sweet things. And so that's like my go-to when I'm stressed out is I want something sweet. And so I'll do really well staying on plan, and then I'll have probably more of the sugar than I actually should be having. I'll eat past my +2 when I'm over there helping them.
Okay.
And then I, you know.
All right. So you're at parents. Helping them. Right?
Yes.
And the action is eat sweets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's the rest of the model? What are you feeling when you're at your parents helping them?
I guess it kind of depends. Usually it's okay, but sometimes I'm kind of feeling kind of that I shouldn't have to be doing this. I'm okay. Feeling maybe a little resentful.
Oh, resentful again. This is a theme. This is very close to the first model, right?
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to be doing this. Resentful. Okay. And you eat the sweets. You eat off plan, right?
Yeah.
Overeat. Right? And the result is you eat when you shouldn't eat.
And I feel like it's kind of keeping me from being able to reach my goal.
That's kind of that's actually what happens at the effect of this model. So because this model takes place, you're not hitting your goal. You're postponing your goal. Let's say it that way.
Yeah.
Why do you think you shouldn't have to do this?
Well, I don't know if that's the right sentence I should have used. I'm doing it voluntarily. Mm-hmm. And it's a valid need. Mm-hmm. My dad has a disability that keeps my mom kind of tethered to him, and she's constantly caregiving for him. And so mm-hmm. I've volunteered myself to come over and help with preparing and feeding him dinner. So mm-hmm. I'm happy to do it most days. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm not really living my life. I feel like I've kind of chosen to not be a normal 20-something because I need to be helping my parents and kind of lightening their load, even though they say, oh, you don't have to come. It's no big deal. We'll handle this. And then I kind of feel like I hear later on, well, you know, your mom was stressed out and she didn't really have the margin to feed me tonight, but she did. Mm-hmm. So all those things. So I'm like, I shouldn't have to feed him dinner, but I'm choosing to feed him dinner. But at the same time, I'm missing out on living the life that I could be living because of these choices that I'm making.
Okay. So this thought it's almost like you judge this thought. It's like you're saying, I shouldn't feel this way, but I do.
Yeah.
So is a thought wrong?
I guess not.
No, thoughts aren't wrong. They're just thoughts. They're just sentences.
Well, right? I kind of realized yesterday that I have a thought and then automatically I feel like the thought is authority. And I just kind of had that epiphany that I don't have to, and I've heard it, that I don't have to choose to believe a thought or I don't have to agree with that thought or whatever, but it is so ingrained in my mind that every time I have a thought, like that is just like, if I think I'm going to eat this, then I'm like on autopilot and going to eat this. Okay. Or,
so what if instead of saying it's ingrained, what if we just say it's practiced? We practiced a little bit. Okay. So this thought, you've practiced this thought. It's a habit thought. Okay. Yeah. Ingrained makes it seem like it's there forever. You know, never going to shake it. You know, it makes it kind of dramatic.
Yeah.
What if we just say, you're used to thinking this.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's okay that you're used to thinking this because instead of judging it, you can ask yourself if it's really the truth, if it's something you really want to believe. Right. Because I'm betting you don't want to feel resentful for having to help your dad. Or for choosing to help your dad. Because that's what you do. Every time you go over there, you're making a choice to help him. And in that moment, you're choosing whether or not it's in your best interest to go over there and help him.
Yeah.
Or yeah. You're not choosing whether or not it's in your best interest to go over there and help him.
Yeah. Well, right? I feel like there's backlash or there's guilt or there's usually something mm-hmm. that happens when I can't or I don't go over there, then it's like there's repercussions, there's okay. a backlash.
So guilt obviously is another model. I'm going to use my blue pen, because you're choosing between resentment and guilt rather than saying, what else would I like to feel about this? You think it's an either or, resentment or guilt. If I go, I'm going to be angry and resentful. If I don't go, I'm going to feel guilty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that how you want to, is that how you want to
no.
think of, feel whenever you decide to help your parents?
No.
No, it's not. And the resentment and the guilt is what's leading to all these sweets and stuff. Right?
Yeah.
So
there's that piece where I don't feel the freedom to live a normal 20 something life because of these choices that I made. Is that a whole different separate model?
No,
or
no. I mean, it's a different model, but I want you to say that thought again.
I'm not living a normal 20 something life because I'm choosing to help them.
Is that true?
Yeah. I feel like it is.
What does a normal 20 something life look like?
Having a social life, having things to do in the evenings, having friends, having, I guess I feel that the way that I was raised, where we were super, my mom was super protective. And so the way that she raised me, I made choices that kept me in that super isolated kind of lifestyle. And now I'm almost to my 30s and I'm still making these self-protected choices because of the way that she raised me. And I know I'm now an adult and I get to make new choices, but
how many days a week do you go over and help your parents?
Five.
Okay. What do you do the other 2 days a week?
Usually I'm at home by myself doing things. I'm doing chores or I'm working on P&P or running errands.
How much time do you spend at your parents' house when you go over there? Is it an all-night affair or is it an hour or two?
It just depends. Sometimes it's about an hour. Sometimes I end up talking to my mom and, you know, helping her debrief from her stress and, you know, kind of converse with her and try to give her, I kind of try to drop the nuggets that I'm learning from this program, kind of helping her, trying to change her thoughts. And so sometimes it's short and less than an hour. Sometimes I'm over there like, you know, 3 hours because then she needs me to do this or do that or, you know, whatever.
So how can you create more time for your normal 20 something life?
I guess not go over there as often.
Or utilize the time you have at home in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I could try to do that. I feel like by the time I get home from work and debrief and have a little bit of time to me and there's kind of issues going on at work right now where I'm stressed out and usually upset by the time I come home. And so that's kind of bubbling into, I guess, the way I spend time at home. And so I just feel like I'm living like a 50-year-old and, you know, someone who's...
There's nothing wrong with living like a 50-year-old.
I didn't mean it that way. Like,
I'm just shaking your chain.
And, you know, doesn't have all these... I'm single. I don't date. I don't want to get married at this point because I don't want to have anybody else to take care of. I take care of my parents and, you know, I'm in my 20s and I'm like, I'm done. I have other goals. I have, you know, these dreams that I would rather fulfill dreams than be in a relationship at this point. And so that's kind of my.
Okay. So back to this thought, I'm not living a normal 20 something life. feeling? Still resentful? Trapped? Something else?
Yeah, resentment, sadness, okay. Kind of fear of missing out.
Okay.
A lot of different.
Yeah.
There.
It sounds like it's pretty close to the same model. Do you think? You're eating.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, if you're thinking all this and you're feeling all this, why go to your parents' house and help if your mom can handle it? Why go?
Because she gives me lip service and she says, oh, it's no big deal. We can handle it. But then when I go back the next day, usually I'm hearing from my dad that, you know, she gave me, you know, she threw a sandwich at me and, you know, I had to feed myself, which he can do, but it's very difficult for him. He has.
So do you have expectations of the way your dad needs to be fed and only you can do it?
No.
Because what your dad says, it's just the C line. You're choosing to think what you want about it. Oh, great. He got a sandwich and I got a night off, could be your thought. But you're not choosing that one.
Well, because it's difficult for him to feed himself. And if mm-hmm. she lies and says, I'm fine, but then mm-hmm. I hear that it wasn't fine, then I'm like, I could have come over.
But you're judging whether or not it was fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you might have fixed a hot meal and she fixed a sandwich.
Yeah. He didn't die.
I'm just pointing this out because, not because I think he should have a hot meal or a sandwich. I don't, you know, that's your business. What I'm pointing out to you is that you're creating these thoughts about your dad because of your own expectations of his care. Yet you're also resenting the fact that you have to provide the care expectation because of what, you know, what would happen if your work sent you away for a week? Your dad would get 7 sandwiches, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They get figured out.
They'd figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? So what I want you to see here is that this thought that you're choosing about, yeah, and this resentment that you're choosing it's not your parents' fault. It's your thought.
Then it turns into guilt.
And that's also your thought.
Okay.
Right? That's also, it's not generated by them. It's generated by what you're thinking. It wasn't good enough. I should have been there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So really, really think about what your expectation is of yourself and of your mom with regard to your dad, and be okay. You have to be okay with the way your mom cares for your dad. She cares for him all day long, right? He gets breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You've decided what dinner should be, yet you resent the fact, you resent that it's not always what you think it should be. And then you feel guilty because it didn't meet the expectation that you set.
Yeah. Okay. It all goes
and then you eat over it.
I know.
Here's what I would want for you, Karen. So when you go over to help your dad, you don't think about what you're missing out on. You think about, this is my choice. That's all. Because it is. It is your choice because you're getting in the car and you're driving over there. Okay? Yeah. You don't have to. You're choosing to. He's getting fed. He's, you know, he's being taken care of. I'm choosing to help my dad.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
This is my choice, acceptance. It doesn't have to feel warm and fuzzy and amazing. I just want you to see that this is your choice.
Okay.
I bet if you do this for yourself, decide that you're making this choice, you show up over there a little bit differently too.
Yeah.
With more love, with more openness, with more something, I don't know.
Yeah.
You probably show up a little bit differently because you've decided that this is what you want to do rather than I'm the only option.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yeah, it does. It does. Okay. I've got some models to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. That was helpful.
You're welcome. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. All right, let's see. Jeanette. Hello.
Oh, I'm very close.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am good.
What's going on?
Well, I thought this was kind of spur of the moment for me too. I wasn't, but the topic I thought was kind of relevant to something I've been thinking about coaching on for a while.
Okay.
I have a bad habit of asking for permission before I do anything.
Okay.
And it comes from a place of not wanting to put people out, and it drives my husband up a wall. But I will literally ask for, like, because I don't want to inconvenience anybody. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it extends so far that, you know, I'll claim that, you know, I don't have time to exercise because I have to do all this stuff. And, you know, I don't have time to focus on myself because I have to do all of this. And, you know, my husband says to me, and it's been hitting home lately, you know, he's like, don't put that on me. You know, like, it's almost like I'm using him as an excuse because I'm avoiding what I should be doing.
Is that what you're doing?
I think it might be, but at the time when I'm doing it, I feel like it's coming from a place of like, that's how I want to show my love, because I want to like do all these things for him and, you know, for my dad and, you know, other people. But I'm wondering if it's just another way to buffer sometimes. I don't know. It's like, it's been rolling around in my head that it keeps me from having to take ownership of myself.
Exactly what it does. It gives someone else you're ceding the control of all your decision-making to your husband or to someone else. So why do you do that?
Why or how?
Why?
The only thing that comes to mind is maybe it's an insecurity of mine that I'm afraid that if I put him out that he'll get upset or he'll leave or...
I think you're exactly right. I think it's insecurity. Okay. Feel insecure.
Yeah.
So you don't make a decision.
Right.
You're afraid you'll be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make decisions. Don't advocate for yourself.
Right.
This is where the self-love piece of prioritization really becomes super important. Can you see that?
I think I'm
too low. Okay.
No, I can.
So if I were to ask you, give me one sentence about why you feel insecure, what would it be?
Because I feel like I'm too much trouble to be worth it.
Okay. Thank you. But I'm going to put self-care up here.
Okay.
Because that's probably what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if we could lump all the things in that you said, you know, like mm-hmm. choosing your own food. Did you say that? Exercise. No,
it's exercise. It's choosing when and where, like, I do things. Okay. Even.
Okay. All right. So, I'm too much trouble to be worth it. Insecure. Don't make decisions. Don't advocate for yourself. What do you think the result is?
I think that when I, cause I'm a closet eater, I'm a secret eater. So I feel like that's how I take care of myself.
Mm-hmm. So you don't take care of what you need.
Right.
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 So, and that proves the thought that you're not worth it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And I'm well aware of the fact that this is in my own head, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure, like, I don't even know the steps to even begin to try and stop doing that.
Well, you set a goal to make, it's actually a commitment really to yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you have the thought, I am going to commit to 10 minutes of exercise tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to ask for permission, then that's like saying, I'm not going to eat after dinner for you, or yeah. I'm not going to snack tomorrow. You're going to have the urge and the uncomfortable feeling of keeping that commitment to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's almost like sitting with an urge, right? Mm-hmm. You have to at 8 o'clock tomorrow, you have to move your 10 minutes. And then on the back end, say, see, this is something I can do for myself. Okay. You have to take those little bitty small steps and decide ahead of time, I am going to do this tomorrow without checking in first,
mm-hmm.
because I know I can. I just have to learn to practice this.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you start taking those little steps that create the evidence for yourself that you really can make a decision and you can advocate for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it. And, you know, you're not going to wake up tomorrow going, I got this. Right?
Right.
Or you're going to wake up tomorrow and feel really uncomfortable because you're going to do something for yourself without asking permission.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me. Give me one thing that you can do tomorrow, small thing that would be outside of your comfort zone that you would normally ask for permission to do that you're going to do anyway. Give me one, and you have like a whole bunch of people watching you that are going to
be
with you tomorrow to see if you did this. Her name is Jeanette. She's gonna, so what is it going to be?
It'll have to be, she's traveling tomorrow, so my life gets...
so your life gets what?
I don't feel like I need to ask for permission. I don't feel like I have to worry about him.
What about tonight then? Is he home tonight?
He is home tonight. Actually this call, I had my hand raised earlier mm-hmm. and he was downstairs working out and I had finished mm-hmm. working out earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But then I heard his music go off. So mm-hmm. I lowered my hand and when he came back up, I told him that I had raised my hand, but that you're up here now, so I'm not going to do it. He's like, do your coaching call. Mm-hmm. So I did it, but I still checked with him first.
Yeah. So what are you going to, so tonight, what can you do tonight?
I can read my book without worrying about what he'll do when I'm reading.
Would you normally ask him, do you mind if I read my book?
Totally.
Okay. So you're going to read, you're going to sit down mm-hmm. in the same room with him mm-hmm. and open your book without asking permission.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
You can do this?
I think I can do this. Can I tell him I'm going to read or do I just do it?
No. No, you just do it. Seriously, because yeah. this is how you learn how to take care of what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And not in a selfish way, in a way that makes you feel good so that you can show up every day feeling good.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So nothing about this is weird or selfish or I don't know. Think about, did you hear my story about Chris, about my cousin Chris?
Yeah, that was kind of what made me raise my hand.
It wasn't like, selfish at all for her to chase her life, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if she had followed her parents' manual for her, she'd be probably some high-level engineer, something somewhere, playing the flute and doing gymnastics and whatever it is that Chris could do, and hating life,
mm-hmm.
and miserable and depressed and upset and all this stuff.
It's kind of like having the courage to follow your heart regardless of the circumstances.
Right. But she didn't harm anyone
mm-hmm.
in her pursuit of the life that she loved.
Right.
Right. Your first baby step to pursue the life that you love is to go downstairs and open your book and start reading. That's it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just
now, here's what's going to happen. You're going to sit down and you're going to go up. Okay. And that's okay, because it's going to be automatic. You might even get half the sentence out, and then you're going to go, no, I'm reading. Okay.
Right.
And then when you finish reading, I don't care how many pages, you're going to get mm-hmm. in the Facebook group and say, I was on this coaching call and I did it because I'm learning how to be worth this work. I'm learning how to prioritize what I need to.
Because
I'm important. I went to a training in October. Golly, I feel like I've been all over the country this fall, and I never used to travel. In October, I was in San Diego at a training, and one of the speakers talked about how you have to tell yourself, I'm a big deal. Okay. She had us write down all the reasons we were a big deal. And I was like, me? This girl. Okay. So, I mean, you have to tell yourself that, though, because you're on this earth, you're meant to be here. So you must be a pretty big deal, right? Mm-hmm. You have a job?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you do?
Well, that's the other thing too, is I lost my career job over a year ago. So I'm what they call underemployed now.
Okay. But what are you doing?
I'm doing payroll for a nonprofit that does developmentally disabled adult daycare.
How many people's payroll do you do?
400 people.
All right. I bet there's 400 people in this world that think you're a pretty freaking big deal.
This is true.
Right? And you're probably one of them, because I bet you're on that payroll register.
I am. This is very true. Yep.
I bet they'd be really happy for you to take care of yourself so you can show up tomorrow and process more payroll.
This is very true, especially since it's due on Wednesday.
Yes. Yes. All right. You have your homework.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do it. Yes.
All right. And you have lots of people who are going to be looking for your post.
I know. I'll tag you in it so you know I do it.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy.
All right. See you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, let's do one more person. Then I'm going to go take care of me by fixing dinner. Sam K, you're up. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. My group kind of made me get on today.
Your who did?
Even though my group.
Okay. You didn't want to talk to me by yourself? You had to be talked into it, huh?
Yeah. I've been wanting to do this for months. I just never do, because it's not me. As you can see, my face is like all red. So I would do about self-care.
Okay.
I have 2 kids, fully active in sports. My husband's a coach of 4 school teams, and I have foster kids. So I am definitely the last one I take care of. Like right now, I'm at my son's basketball practice, and I had my hand raised earlier, and I put it down because the coach needed help with the girl. So apparently, I was meant to get back on because I raised my hand again, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will prioritize everyone else before me. I know my group me too mentioned the fact that I was making my plan this morning. I planned what my family was going to eat, not what I was going to eat down on my plan, just because I had an hour in between work before I had to leave to grab my son and take him 45 minutes out of town for his basketball practice. So like the entire family is fed and everything, but my son usually wants to go like out to eat or something, because again, it's a 45 minute drive here, 45 minute drive home, and so we leave at 5 and we'll get back until like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and I find that too late to eat. So if I eat at 8 or 8:30, it's a whole lot better than you know, eating at 9:30, 10, but it's eating out. So trying to do my, what was it, like 3 to 6 pounds lost for the Gift of Fat challenge this month. I tried to just go to eat at home, but I don't know.
So is eating at home realistic for you, for your lifestyle on nights like this?
I mean, I did do a lot of planning, like food prep that I don't normally do.
Okay.
So I do have food in the crock pot, but again, that's eating at 9 o'clock. And I think that's like too late.
Why is that too late?
Because normally I go to bed at 9 o'clock. And I just have to, you know.
So you go to bed at 9:10 after you eat.
That's true. But then I'm worried about my son because then he'll want to eat and won't be able to wait because he had like a 2-hour practice and he's hungry. And
so why don't you feed him on the way home and eat what you want on the way home? I'm hitting the action line on this, but I don't, you know, how, why are you choosing what he wants or what you think is easiest for him over what it is you need? Why aren't you doing both?
It's a bonding time because it's just him and I. It's not foster kids or his sister or, you know, anybody else's needs. I'm taking care of him and having that.
Do you have to eat?
Bonding.
Do you have to eat to bond?
No.
Where would you go? Tell me where you would go. Uh-huh.
We have gone to Steak and Shake, Wendy's, and I think McDonald's. I think those have been the three, but it's typically it's the Steak and Shake that he likes.
Okay. So after practice, you run by Steak and Shake. He eats, you connect, you eat when you get home. What's wrong with that?
I'm hungry. The smell is going to... I have a hard time finding my 2, my -2, or just feeling in general.
Okay, those are
that's too late.
That's all incidental. All right. So you told me the problem was you didn't get to eat what you wanted. And you had all these reasons. You know, the drive, the practice, the drive back, you know, the quality time, the connection time, all this kind of stuff. You can eat what you want. You just have to figure it out if that's really what you want. Is that really what you want? What is the most important thing about tonight?
The fact that I'm here at practice with him.
Yeah.
But I mean,
you've also got an hour and a half in the car with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I want to eat out with him, but that's not going to help with the weight loss because I started doing that. Like, I would just plan going out to eat and he would pick. But then the weight wasn't coming off. It wasn't coming off to begin with. And it wasn't coming off after that because I kind of hit a stall.
And it's not because...
Again, I don't know my -2.
Yeah, it's not because of his basketball practice or because of the commute. It's because of what you're choosing to eat and how much that the weight's not coming off. Okay. So you could go to Steak and Shake and get a salad.
Well, I think we eat on the car ride home. So I thought about doing that before, but eating a salad on a car ride home, it doesn't work.
Okay. So you could pack a cooler with the sandwich.
Yeah.
Or you could wait to eat when you get home. See, you told me a minute ago that you connected with your son when you ate. Right? So if you're eating in the car.
Yeah, it's a way to get him to talk to me, I guess.
Right. So is that in the car?
Yes.
Okay. What are you thinking?
That is, how did I don't know.
What am I missing?
Yes, it makes sense. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what I'm missing.
I
don't know. It can't be that simple.
Oh, it can. I think you're just getting in your own way. Honestly.
Well, sounds like me.
Yeah. I think you're
I'm numb to that, yeah.
Well, so am I. I'm a classic overthinker. I'm very good at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes. I come up with all these reasons that I can't do something, but then my husband or Corinne or somebody, Betsy, will look at me and go, well, what's all that mean? And I'm like, nothing. Why aren't you, why are you thinking about it? Why aren't you, So really and truly, on a night like tonight, what is ideal for you and eating? What do you want? What is the most important thing about driving your son to basketball, being at basketball, going home? What's the most important thing?
Just in general, it's time with him.
Time with him. Right?
Eating out is just, it's simpler. It's easier. It's less stress.
Is it when you have food at home to heat up that you've already prepped?
No, not necessarily. It would be easier or just as easy at home. Mm-hmm. It hits that part if I didn't, my hunger scale. It's going to hit my hunger scale because I have, like I said, no clue where my hunger scale is at. Now, if I am too hungry, and my accountability group can tell me that, we went to one of the a viewing, and I didn't know what my hunger scale was. I obviously was way past my 2, and I had no idea, and I got sick. I will get sick before I hear my stomach growl or feel like I'm hungry.
What do you think minus 2 would feel like, if you had to guess?
Well, okay, a growl on your stomach or just an empty feeling of, I need fuel.
Okay.
I can get, what I notice though is I can start to get a headache. But I don't like to base it off that because that could be low on water. That mm-hmm. could be, that could be anything.
Yeah.
Like the stress level. So I don't want to base my hunger on my head because I've done that before. So then I lean more on the growl. But I honestly, I think it was it last school year, we were trying to track how many times my stomach would growl before I would get hungry. And I was like, 2.
Yeah, my stomach doesn't growl either. I mean, sometimes it does.
Well, then how do you know?
My stomach growls, but it's not a consistent. I'm thinking right now, I'm probably at about a -3. Okay? Because it's 6:10 here, and I haven't had anything since lunchtime. And I'm thinking, how would I describe how this feels? My stomach's not growling. My head's not hurting. The way I describe it is I can take a really deep breath. And I feel an emptiness, almost like a little churning in my stomach, almost like my stomach juices are churning up a little bit, like it's getting ready. It's like, maybe we need to send her a little signal that it's time to eat, okay? But -2, I've heard referred to as the whisper of hunger. It's not stomach growl hangry, okay? It's like a suggestion that it's getting close to time to eat. All right.
Okay.
So if you had to describe, when was the last time you ate?
I had written down a snack of the bowl of cereal. So I had that at 4:30 maybe.
Okay. So are you on Central Time?
Yeah, I'm in Indiana.
Okay. So yeah. If you had to describe where you were on the hunger scale right now, where would it be?
Well, after you explained it, maybe the -2, like I'm starting to think of that. I need food. I'm hungry. Take a deep breath.
Your stomach feel empty?
Yeah.
You might be -1 or -2. It's not ravenous. Okay. -2 is not ravenous. We want to eat before we get ravenous. Okay. So for you, when is basketball practice over?
7:45.
That's a long practice. That's an hour and a half. Right? Yeah. And then yeah. So it'll be 8:30 before you get home. Right? 8:30, 8:45, something like that.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a couple hours. So you'll pass -2, you might get to -3. And you might go back down. You might get a big glass of water and be okay for a little while. A big bottle of water and be okay for a little while. So what's the problem with getting home and eating at home?
A few things. One, everyone in my house is kind of like the kid food. Not very often I have actual adult food. It's very plain. It's very, chicken nuggets, macaroni and cheese with the french fries. Even my husband, he hates vegetables, he hates anything. Mm-hmm.
Didn't you say you prepped?
Yeah, but it was for the family, not me. I have just some like meals that I cook once and it's prepared for two meals, so then I freeze them.
Okay.
But I mean, it's all mainly pasta, which is what I'm trying to avoid because it just doesn't do well with my body, but it's easy for the family.
Okay. So what do you think the best plan is for tonight? Uh-oh. Froze up. She might be leaving. Oh, are you back?
To be honest, I ever follow my plan. Oh, yeah, I didn't know you were gone.
Okay. You were frozen. So what is the best plan for tonight that takes care of you and what you need?
Go home and just eat what I have planned at home. I mean, I'd like to have my first check mark in months of actually following my plan completely.
That would be awesome. Think about how good that would feel. You're not buying it.
I don't know. I just don't know if I'd be as happy as I want to be. I don't know. I just have so much going on in my mind. And so much I want to talk about besides just what I'm eating tonight.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, that's probably what I'm going to do. So.
Okay.
And then actually make him go home and eat something at home too.
And in the meantime, you guys can connect in the car on the way home.
Yeah.
Is that doable?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do it.
All right. So now that you have gotten on a call and you know how it works, can you come back Wednesday and talk about all the other things you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think so.
Betsy has office hours on Wednesday. We can talk about all the other things.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll see. Yeah.
We're back to prioritizing yourself and advocating for yourself. How successful do you want to be? You know, it had to really pull at you here to make a decision to follow your plan today. That's advocating for yourself. That's prioritizing yourself, right? I'm having to kind of push you a little bit to say, are you going to come back on Wednesday and advocate for yourself and prioritize?
Just you figuring out what I have planned, you know, because my foster son has horse therapy. I'll be out in the middle of nowhere, so I don't know if I'll have reception, and it's at that same time, and, you know.
Here's what I want you to think about, though. Here's what I want you to think about, okay? You can't pour from an empty cup. I told somebody that one time. What that means is if you don't take care of yourself, you got all these people who are relying on you. And if you start taking care of yourself just a little bit, you're going to show up in those relationships with them so much more loving and affectionate and happy and willing and open because you've filled your own tank first. Yeah. I can guarantee you my cousin never would have helped homeless people find jobs if she had been a Georgia Tech engineer playing softball or doing whatever she was going to do. She'd have been miserable and locked up in her room and angry at the world. That's what I want for you. I want you to see that the choices that you're making, and I want you to see that you can take just a little bit of time to prioritize what you need to. Okay?
Yes.
Anything else? Oh, I think she froze up again. Got anything else?
Yeah. No. You're good.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. Let's hit this Q&A real quick. Let's see what we got here. I am struggling with my kid regarding college. His dad is not paying his share and he is avoiding talking to his dad. Then I look at my son's email and he's lost his work study for the year because he forgot to get the paperwork from the financial aid office, which I told him to do when we dropped him off at college, but he said he did. I am furious, worried about him and stressing out about it. Lisa, I want you to do a thought download about what you make this mean and why you are stressing and take it over to Ask Coaches. Okay. What you've given me here is not, let's see. His dad's not paying his share. He's avoiding talking to his dad. I don't know if that's a fact or a thought. He's lost his work study is a fact. Didn't turn in his paperwork is probably a fact. The fact that you told him to do it is a fact. I don't know why you're furious or worried. Okay. So I want you to do a thought download about why, what the thoughts are. I want a model. Okay. About what's going on here. Thought download and a model. And then we'll help you over and Ask Coaches about that. Okay. All right, everybody. That's what I've got for tonight. I hope you have a good evening. I hope this was helpful. And I hope you all work really hard at making sure that you are showing up for you so that you can show up for everyone else, okay? Later on this week, we've got office hours Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Time. Then Betsy also has a Tribe Q&A Thursday at 5 p.m. Central. And then Corinne is back for her weekly planning and office hours Sunday at noon Central. Okay? You guys have a good evening, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.